Well, we're still in Acts chapter 19, and we may revisit this a little bit. Seems like I can't get past first six verses there of chapter 19 in Acts, and may go back and just touch on that a little bit, and because last week we'd spent a little time talking about and trying to understand that this was a transitional time, and we need to understand what's going on there and what time frame it was, but we may read this and we may get on past it a little bit later this morning. Just want to touch on it a little bit. 19, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were you baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. So therefore, Paul was associating the Holy Ghost with baptism, wasn't he? Because as soon as they didn't have it, then whoa, how was you baptized? So that we got to recognize that at this point in time. Now, we may go back here in just a minute. We may read of the Holy Ghost through other places in Acts, and we just got to understand, boy, if that don't... That's just going to show these other places when we're going to go back and read here in a little bit that this was transitional. That you would, I don't think you could go to two to three places there and show how that they all aligned up perfectly, because there was a time that was changing. John's baptism, we talked about that he must decrease so the Lord could increase. But so just recognize when the Lord was born, that's what started the year one, right? And when he died, we believe that to be somewhere around, 33 A.D., somewhere around in there. So from 33 A.D. to this time frame that we're reading about is around 52 A.D. So there's 20 years somewhere right here that we're dealing with. So in this 20 years that the church has been, more churches have been established. We know Jesus set up the first one before he died. But more churches have been established, but recognizing that this man that had came was out of the loop for the better part of 20 years here. Did he come when John first started baptizing? And then, all of these questions start coming out. How long was John baptizing before Jesus came to him? Was it days, weeks, months, years? I don't know the answer to that. So we recognize that Apollos had came and did not know of Jesus. He was looking to what was to come yet. He was part of the early material that was prepared. So just that's some of the things that I can't seem to get past. But in the fourth, then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Jesus Christ. So that's the reason why I believe that Apollos was baptized of John's baptism of repentance, and did not know of Jesus, did not know of the church that was established. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. So we may stop there just a little bit. But getting into, going back to 18 and 26, where we talked about Aquila and Priscilla had taught Apollos of the coming age of the church. That's what I think had happened there when you read that. So again, you associate Apollos coming, you associate these other 12 there in the 19th chapter, and they all believing of the same thing, that Apollos was baptized there with John's repentance, and I believe these other 12 were as well, as it mentions there in the 7th verse. It said the 12th. But we see that Apollos didn't know of the baptism of John, or he did know of that, but he didn't know about the other. So again, like I said, with the questions of what year did John start baptizing, and did he baptize, how long before or during and then after? And we touched on that just before we ended last week. And if we go to the book of John, 1 and 29, and we're going to try to do a little map work here and try to understand the Holy Ghost and John's baptism. And so here on John 1:29, it said, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which take away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I've said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I coming baptizing with water." So John said, "I'm baptizing with water." And then 32, "And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon him that thou shalt see Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost." So that's, we've read there of the Holy Ghost. But going back in 1:28, it says, "These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing." So Bethabara, we're going to try to, that is, and I don't think this map here has it. I don't know that one of these other ones is on there. If we could use some of this other. But it's roughly, it's south of Galilee, about 12 miles east of Nazareth. So if we could kind of pick out where that might be. I don't know if we got a blown up version of that up here. I don't guess we do, but just recognize that Galilee's about 3/4 of the way up somewhere in there. Maybe not all the way to Damascus, but maybe 3/4 way up through Israel. So if we got a, here's one here. If y'all were to happen to have one of these books, these Bible maps, and we do need to get more of these. I think it's really been a help to me. But you can see this little spot here. Is the Sea of Galilee, so just a little bit south of it, and it's east of Nazareth, so right in there in the Galilee area is where John was baptized. Now if we go to John 3:22, it says, "After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea." So it mentioned where Jesus is. Now he's south, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Aenon near Salim, because there was much water there. Now Aenon, that's south of Galilee by about 40 miles. So I know we ain't got a good map of that, but in short, by the two places that we've just read in John, John's not staying in the same place baptizing. He's at least 30 to 40 miles separation from where he baptized the Lord and to where he's baptizing now. So I say that just to show that it wasn't just one pocket that he went into and was baptizing. And I don't know how many weeks or months that would have lasted, but there's definitely a difference there. And where Jesus is at, him and his disciples are baptizing in another area as well. They're much further south than where John is. So this is that transitional stage that we're talking about, that we really can't put a date to as to when John started and when he stopped. And he even says, like we mentioned several times, John said that I must decrease, not stop, and that the Lord must increase. So there's one tapering off and there's one increasing, right? And we see here in John that they're both doing it at the same time. So there's some here being baptized of the repentance of John, it seems, doesn't it? I certainly don't say all of that to stir up anything. I'm just trying to relate that this time frame is it's there. It's there. We get to deal with that. But all of that, and I think when we recap Acts and we're trying to find the Holy Ghost received, if we go into these different areas, and we may start in the book of Luke. And we've heard Brother Jeff preach on this a few times. Luke in chapter 24 and 49. "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with the power from on high." So that was Jesus speaking to the 12 there, I believe. That's where he was. That's where they were supposed to be. That's where they're all going to tarry until that power comes down, which is going to be given to the church. So he was speaking to the 11. Let me rephrase that. He was speaking to the leaven there. And again, this is just scotching up that this is transitional times. Acts 8, 14 through 17. Let's go and read this about the Holy Ghost. Now when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. So I believe right there shows us that this receival of the Holy Ghost is not salvation, right? They had already been there and believed. And I say that because I spoke to a man probably less than a couple of 3 weeks ago, and we were just talking, and he told me, he said, look, I'm not going to fall out with anybody if they were to believe it a different way. But he said, I believe that Paul was saved there in Damascus once Ananias had touched him. And it said the scales had just come off from his eyes. And he said that's where he received the Holy Ghost. So I believe that's where he got saved. Well, just like this scripture here doesn't support that, and along with several others. But you don't want to go into arguing with somebody like that. You don't know that well, but when it comes right down to it, it made me go back and study and say, if given that opportunity again, what could I be able to say and what would you be able to show? And this is one of them. But recognize how that the Holy Ghost came here to those that Peter and John went to. And we'll finish reading that. And here in parentheses here, for as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So this was coming in the way of the Lord Jesus, it says. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands and the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. So we recognize there's a lesson there to be learned, but keep in mind this Acts 8, you can't use that as a once and done. This is what I believe, and this is why, and because you don't see of the baptism through the church here, do you? It says through Lord Jesus, which you could still say through the church, but this is a transitional period that it's worded a little bit different. Now if we go to Acts 9, 17 through 8, let's read this, which we'd read this and studied this, I think, before. But it said, and when Ananias went his way and entered into the house and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes that it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. So I personally don't believe that's where he was saved. I believe he was saved beforehand, but that's why we can't associate the Holy Ghost there complete and holy with salvation. Now, I believe when you get saved, you get that in your heart. You get that. But in this context, the Holy Ghost wasn't referring to salvation. Let me stop there and let y'all. Any of you, brethren, got any thoughts or anybody on any of this? Most certainly don't want to take any of this out of context. And this is, honestly, it's above me. It's over my head. And that's the reason why I'm kind of going into these areas and speaking of these different ways that we see the Holy Ghost in the book of Acts. I don't think you can bundle all of that together and say without a doubt all of it comes in salvation. I don't think you can bundle it all together and say all of it comes when you're baptized. We seen there a minute ago, some of them got it, and baptism wasn't even mentioned. It was laying on of hands, wasn't it? But wasn't even a church there, baby. So we got to understand this transitional period, this time that we're dealing with, is all part of the coming age of the church. This is during that, like what we just talked about with Apollos. There's 20-year gap that we think, well, how could you go 20 years and not know of those things? But in that area, it would have been easy. With a man traveling like he was and the church not being around, there's gaps there that we just got to understand. Maybe we just can't 100% feel. But
what we got to understand, the Holy Ghost is something that's a part of the Godhead.
Amen.
It's always been there. Even in the beginning when you read the word, but there's always there from, there's no beginning to God and
amen.
The Holy Ghost in Christ. But in the beginning of the word, it says the Holy Spirit moved across the waters, And so it's always been there. When you get saved, you get baptized spiritually.
Man.
You're completely immersed in the Spirit. So that's different than what he's talking about here. What Larry is talking about is what happened on the day of Pentecost. And that wasn't this gift to a person. You wouldn't be.
Man.
It was a church being baptized one time. And after that, then that authority was gave to the church, and it's come down through the church baptism ever since. So that was a gift that was gave to the church, and it's still with the church today because we've come through a mother church. That's the reason it's so important that every one of our churches does, you don't go out here and start.
Amen.
It's got to come through that baptism. Because Jesus said in the 14th chapter of John, he said, I will come unto you. He said, I will come. And then on the Acts 1, and you'll go over, and he said something, he'll probably read that a little bit. But if you'll go over, he comes, and the way he comes is through the Holy Ghost,
amen.
Through when he baptized the church, through, if you'll go over and read in Acts 2, when it was fiery tongues and the Spirit, the wind blew and everything. Well, that's how he came to the church. And the church then was baptized. There's a spiritual baptism, and then as far as the church goes, and then when you get saved, you're baptized by the Holy Spirit. And I know what everybody gets, you're saying, well, what are you talking about? Jesus comes within you. The Spirit comes within you, and it just fills you up. It don't come in there just a little bit. You just get completely immersed in the Holy Spirit on the inside. So that's when you get saved. That's when you get born again. And then when the church, it's that one gift that was given there on the day of Pentecost when they were baptized, but we hang on to that because every person we baptize has to have that same baptism. Because that's how the Comforter came and how the authority came. That's how we have authority to go out and do what we do. And that's why it's so important that we keep the same baptism.
Yeah.
That gift is given to the church. It ain't given to nobody else. There's a lot of people out there that's saved that don't have that authority in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You care if we go read something?
No, go right ahead. Amen.
I don't want to lose all my spots. I got marks. I'm catching on fire after a while. But I think it's important that we kind of try to get it right. This is something I'm going to tell you. I worried myself to death. Everybody bragged about how I done a couple of Sundays ago. Long. Listen, we had visitors here that day. If people don't get this, they think you're crazy.
That's right.
They think you're preaching something that's just heresy. But you've got to understand it for what it is. And Jesus promised them he'd come unto them. Go over and turn your Bible to John 14.
Amen. In 16?
16th verse, it says, and I will pray to the Father, I shall give you another comforter, that he may abode with you forever. Even the Spirit of whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you. And I will not leave you comfortless, I will come unto you.
Amen.
That's Jesus speaking. He said, I'll not leave you comfortless, I'll come unto you. And then over here in the 26th verse, he said, but the Comforter, which is what? The Holy Ghost, and whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I said unto you. Now, let's go. You care if I keep
No, going? Go right ahead.
I don't want to mess you up.
You ain't. You're just scotching it up, brother.
Go to Acts 1. Don't care. want people to understand.
Amen.
I don't want to teach you something and then just walk away and everybody thinks I'm crazy. And I know you don't want to do that to me.
Man.
We both of them?
Do you? Yeah. All right. In the first chapter of Acts, in the fourth verse, it says, being assembled together, then commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. That's what Larry read to you over there a while ago before we retired there. Wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence.
Amen.
He's saying you're going not too many days from now, you're fixing to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now he's talking to the same people.
Amen. Yeah.
These are people that done received the Holy Ghost when they got saved, right? Would everybody agree with that? He's talking to his church. Now he's telling them, you're going to receive the Holy Ghost. So what's he talking about?
Amen.
He's talking about the gift, the Comforter, that he done promised to him over in John. He said, it's not many days this is going to happen. So listen, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. And when therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, what thou is this time? Restore us again the kingdom of Israel, and he said unto them, that is not of he shall receive. All right, going down to the eighth verse, well, we'll go ahead and read. And said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father hath not in his own power, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be a witnesses unto both in Jerusalem and in the Judea there and Samaria and unto all the othermost part of the earth. He said, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost, which we done not. Now go here to Acts chapter 2. And it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came around a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it was filled with a house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like unto fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with what? The Holy Ghost. And began to speak with other tongues, and the Spirit gave them others. That's the same thing he read to you over happened to them after they was baptized and Paul laid hands on to them. This is a gift the church received, the Holy Ghost. And that's, like I said, that's why it's so important that we hang on to the baptism of the church, that we don't accept other baptisms, because the baptism of this gift was gave only to the church. And those people over in Acts, he read to you over a while ago, Apollos had baptized them, and known only the baptism of who? John. And listen, John came for the purpose to prepare the people. He was sent from God. He was sent from Christ. He baptized Jesus. But he said, there come a time after he baptized Jesus, Jesus set up his own church. And when he set up the church, then the authority came through the church. And that's why John said, I must decrease. I'm not Brian. He went on and baptized some. I've never understood that yet.
Amen.
I don't understand why, but he kept on. I don't know if he couldn't let go or what. But it seemed like he had even questioned, because he sent some of the disciples once, even after he baptized Jesus, and asked him to make sure if he was the right one. So I don't know. But There was a baptism that was gave to the church on the day of Pentecost. The church, don't be clear in this, and that's where it's so hard to preach on something like this in one time. The church was already set up there on the mountain. Some people play the church was set up the day of Pentecost. No, Jesus set up his church.
Yep.
But what happened that day, it was a gave authority from on high. And the gift of the Holy Ghost. The church itself, the whole church, not just one person, but the church was baptized by the Holy Ghost. And so That's when they was gave authority to go into all the world. And I'm telling you, boy, this is a tough subject. You're doing good with it.
I'm afraid I'm not.
People don't understand how tough a subject this is.
Right.
There's a reason why we do the things we do.
And
there's a reason why we won't recognize other baptisms. It ain't because we're being mean or because we're being self-righteous or anything like that. It's because that was gave to the church and only the church. And we can't recognize other baptisms because of that. And it's a tough subject, bud. Like I said, you're doing, and I don't mean to jump.
I appreciate you clearing it up. I like how you put that was, you got an individual Holy Spirit, and then you got the collective Holy Ghost that came to the church.
Exactly.
And that's a big difference.
When you get saved, the Holy Ghost, now when Jesus said that this is going to come,
yeah.
The Holy Ghost has always been here. It's a part of God. It's no beginning to it. But at the same time, you've got to remember this was Jesus saying, I will come unto you. And the way he come unto you is through,
yeah,
the Holy Ghost.
Because he's already ascended. How else is he coming
right
to us?
And so he's
beyond.
Well, you know how John come in the spirit of Elijah?
Amen.
Jesus come in that way in the spirit.
Amen.
And to the church. I do want to read one more thing if I can find it. If I can see, I can't see.
Seizure?
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, in Matthew, reason I mentioned about the Father, the cloven tongue of the Father, in Matthew in the third chapter, in the 11th verse, it says, I indeed baptize you with water under repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And that's what happened on the day of Pentecost.
Man.
So, I'm sorry.
Don't be.
I want you to get it on your own, and you. I think you have got it. But, boy, when you get this subject, I always go on a panic because I preach on it two or three times, and I know everybody's thinking, this guy's crazy. And most of you probably still sitting here thinking it today. But it's really tough to understand, but you can understand it. Surely, if my little rattle brain can get it, and some of y'all smart folks can, surely. Josh, you get it? Do you get it?
I'll get back to you.
I appreciate that. I get it. I get that. It's... For me, I couldn't let it go, but another, I know I can't present it in a good, sound way either, meaning that the word makes sense. Struggling with that, I'll be honest with you.
Me too, currently.
when you read in two specific places, it says that's when you're going to get the Holy Ghost. Well, okay, what did you get beforehand? But like the way you put that, the individual had it, but the church didn't have it.
Exactly. That's it. That's the separation. You got a person that receives the Holy Ghost when you get to saved, but then this gift is coming to the church as a body.
Yeah. Amen. I like it.
And that's the difference. That there's a lot of people assembled out there that's believers that just don't have that.
Amen.
And that's the reason we always recognize one baptism.
Amen.
Brother, I hope maybe someday, Lord, give me utterance
to be
able to speak this.
Amen. Amen. Brother Barry, do you have anything to?
No, just amen. what I just happened to make mention is this transforming over into the church age. This baptism was something they never heard
amen
of.
Amen. That's right.
And of course, we know that baptism itself means submerge. It has not, the word itself means, has nothing to do with water.
Yeah.
It means submerge.
Right.
So you're submerged when you get saved. You're submerged in the Holy Spirit. When you go down here to the water's edge, you're submerged in water into the church. And the church itself, right, Jeff and y'all may mention that baptism also one time. What I think a lot of people that believe in the speaking in tongues and things, I think they read some of these verses where this man, what was it, Simon saw whenever that they laid hands on that this man began speaking in tongues. What a lot of people don't understand, the early church, the young church was given special gifts.
Amen.
To manifest that this was of God.
Amen.
But you'll read in the Corinthian letter, and I think it's the 13th chapter, that those things would cease. The prophesying and the speaking in tongues, those things would cease. But love and charity, of course, it goes on to say, would never fail. But whenever you really look at those scriptures and you look back at those people, whenever they received the gift of the Holy Ghost, they spoke in tongues. Well, today, when you get baptized down here in the water, you're not going to come up speaking in tongues.
Amen.
But there is still many, many benefits of being a part of the church.
Amen.
But I just think sometimes people read those things where it talks about, you know, they spake in tongues. Well, the early church did have special gifts, and they ceased and they went away.
You know, at that time, they had no gifts to make sure the gospel got spread. And remember back in Genesis when they was going to build a tower to get to heaven?
Tower of Babel.
And God confused their language, made different languages where they, you know, people, they couldn't be able to figure out how to do it. Well, then on this day, he done right the opposite.
Yep.
To where they could be able to tell about Jesus, he made them all speak the same thing. And so I think that's pretty cool that he wanted them to see what the ladder was to heaven was Jesus. They was trying to build a tower to heaven on their own by their own works and everything to get there. And he was saying, here's your ladder. Here's Jacob's ladder that goes to heaven.
Yeah.
And he instead of confusing their language, he made it
Amen.
All speak the same thing. And that all ended up being Jesus.
Amen.
And he
used
the way.
I think just like y'all, we see the speaking in tongues in three times in the book of Acts. And that, as far as I know, that's about the only three places you'll see it. But you got Pentecost there in chapter 2, Cornelius' house in chapter 10, and there at Ephesus in chapter 19. And there in Ephesus, I think it's just like what Brother Barry said. I believe it was to show the power that God has there. It was to show that there's a difference between, if you read in there about Ephesus, there was like sorcerers and magicians like all over the place, and they were trying to get people's eye to look their way. But I think what God showed them there that day, it proved the difference. It showed that there was quite a bit more to that. And I think you read over there that they burned a bunch of books and things like that. That was 50,000 shekels or something of what that was worth, because they had seen what they had and what they were trying to manipulate to show that they had, what God gave them there in tongues that day. It was the real deal, and they went in there and burned everything that they had. Yeah, a difference for sure. 10 and 44, I want to go ahead and read that. Acts, I'm sorry. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's good news for us. Meaning that was showing that you didn't have to be Jewish. That was showing that circumcision of which Paul was run through the ringer all the way through the end of the book of Acts, through chapter 21, 22, and all the way to Rome. It was because of that circumcision statement that he had went in and the church at Jerusalem there had helped establish in the 13th chapter, all of that circumcision. But this shows that whether you're Jew or Gentile, that was coming down and just following the law wouldn't get you anywhere. But it said that, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized and in the name of the Lord. Then pray they him to carry them to tarry certain days. So that was another place where we was reading about the Holy Ghost there. Any thoughts on any of that?
Once again, they had received it before they'd been baptized with water.
Right? Amen. That's right. So, that's right.
That goes to show you it's an individual and a gift that's given the church.
Amen. So at a surface level, you can see, honestly, how somebody would say, well, it shows right here they got the Holy Ghost, and that's before they was baptized. Well, then you read in another place, again, just reading on the surface level, the Holy Ghost came after they was baptized. And you're like, what is going on here? That's what makes this so difficult. That's what makes this gentleman I spoke to two or three days ago or two or three weeks ago, he was convinced that that's when Paul had gotten saved, is because he got the Holy Ghost. Well, he wasn't able to understand the difference of what Paul was being given there, I think is above and beyond what anybody else was given. Paul was given powers there that you could read later on, and we may get to that through before we get to the end of these journeys. They were taking Paul's handkerchiefs and stuff. They were taking his aprons and things, and they would merely take that to somebody that was sick, and they were being healed. We can't...
Paul made an apostle.
Amen. That's a different thing. That's a big difference, what Paul was doing and what ability Paul was given that we don't have. But I appreciate y'all enduring this. We may be able to get on past this in just a little bit, but wanted to touch one more there on Acts 19. I think it was 6. Now we'll go ahead and end the... Yeah, that wasn't my point. But going back to John, when we'd read in there about the when it was talking about John going down and baptizing in that south of Galilee, down in Selene and Anon, when we read there in John in 3:23, and it said because there was much water there. I wanted to make that point that I believe that was showing that when you are baptized, you are to be fully submersed, and they weren't just going to some creek over there in ankle deep of water and pouring a cup of water over somebody's head. There was John felt a reason and led by the Lord to go to where there was deep water to be able to do that work. Said plenty of work.
I was worried about that other day when we went to baptize Brother Larry. I didn't think we had much water. I was standing in the water right like this right here, and I looked at Brother Larry, and I looked at it, and I looked at the water, and then I looked up at Brother Dave and Brother Barry stand over there and they're going, I was like, boy, I wish we had much water. But we got him submerged.
There you go.
Yep. We had to put him all the way. I bet he hit his head on a rock when I...
And then, probably what's wrong with me now.
but then it wasn't you the one to give the trouble. It was Terry the one that hit up.
We'll read a little bit more. 19:8, and when and he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, the divers there meaning an indefinite number, but when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all the which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. That's cool, ain't it? That's cool. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, and vagabond meaning a person who wanders from place to place without a home or a job. But it said, the certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. And there were 7 sons of one Sceva, a Jew and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? A question we should all be asking ourselves. If we're doing our job, the devil ought to know your name. That's my opinion. If he don't know who you are, you're not putting enough affliction on him, and you're not doing enough of what you should be doing to get his attention. But it said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And we don't see an answer there. So that silence gave way to what would happen there in the very next verse. And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, so there was an evil spirit in this one individual, and there was such one that evil spirit overcame them, prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. So it's the real deal, and Brother Jeff has mentioned it several times. We can't do that on our own. We need to draw nigh unto the Lord, but if we've stayed with him and we've been with him, the devil's going to know your name. That was my thought with that part. So we'll
hear people say the devil don't bother me.
Lord help.
Well, he's got you exactly where he wants you. Yeah. Because if he's not bothering you, then you're not doing nothing to uplift Jesus.
Yeah. What we can see here, he don't know you, so
yeah.
He ain't worried about you.
Yeah.
You ain't doing him no harm. Amen. Anything else? We may stop there and y'all consider yourself dismissed.